Thank you for your support during another successful Share-a-thon. This is Ed Vitagliano, Executive Vice President of American Family Association. Because of your faithfulness and God's grace, AFR can continue for another 6 months. We will share God's word and truth and push back against moral decline for as long as God makes it possible. With your faithful giving, we can continue to love God and love people. Thank you again for your partnership during Share-a-thon.
This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840.
Sean, do you want to ask, answer, or do both?
And can we insult you in any other way, Sean, this morning as we get started?
I wasn't insulting Sean, just
right.
Where he lives.
Right. Did you say trivia?
Oh, it's very trivial. Folks in the van thought they just hit a bump, and the radio just sort of had a little hiccup.
And welcome to Trivia Friday. It is Friday, April 10th, the day after Share-a-thon. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today, joined by J.J. Jasper. Good morning to you, sir.
Great to be here. When I found out my toaster was not waterproof, I was shocked.
Oh.
I was shocked, Ed.
Welcome to Trivia Friday. All that you have come to expect from our Trivia Friday banter.
And less.
And less. And that delightful voice is Brother Bert Harper. Good morning to you, Brother
Bert.
Good
morning. It's good to be here after Share-a-thon. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Hey, guys, $4,099,306.
Amen. Amen. Thank
what
you so much.
What a wonderful, successful Share-a-thon. We're thanking the Lord, and we're so grateful for you, those of you, for your prayers. So many of you made a donation. If you're not able to give, we get that. We completely understand. But thank you for your love and your prayers and your support. A wonderful, successful Spring Share-a-thon.
Yep. Spring Share-a-thon for 2026 is now in the books. I think, though, some people do. Some people still give. Is that
a thing? We leave it the online.
Online.
We're going to leave it throughout the weekend. People maybe went on a trip or you were away from the radio. You went, oh, no, I missed Share-a-thon. You can still go to AFR online and
AFR.net.
That way.
Okay.
Little archives, Share-a-thon history. These past 3 days, it was our 70th Share-a-thon.
Wow, because two a year.
Yeah, two a year. One, the fall of 1991, we had one, then two a year, and then this was our first one in 2026. Ah. So it was our 70th Share-a-thon.
Ah.
I've never missed a one.
Seems like there should be something spiritual about that, but 70th week of Daniel, I don't know. That's probably not a good... 70 disciples.
Exactly. He said 70 out, so we went out all
there
over.
There you go. Yeah. Well, what a blessing. Thank you again. We're so grateful for your generosity and your support.
Well, JJ, it is Trivia Friday. What is that? What are we doing here for those maybe who are just tuning in for the first time, don't know what we're doing?
Yeah, a lot of hard-hitting issues, a lot of things in the news throughout the week. Friday, we let our hair down. We have some fun. It's mostly for entertainment, but we really do learn a lot. So we have three trivia questions each. We're going to present those, and then we encourage you to ask, answer, or do both. Answer one of our trivia questions when you call this number we're going to give you in just a bit. And then if you have a trivia question for us. So we laugh a lot. We really do with all this trivia, politics, sports, the Bible. We really do learn a lot, and people just love this show.
And the number to call if you want to try to get on the program. Now, we do ask that if you have been on with us on this program in the last 2 months, we just ask you to wait one more week because we want to try to give as many people as possible an opportunity to be on Trivia Friday. The number is 888-589-8840. That number again is 888-589-8840. Now, Brother Bert, one of these questions is kind of special. What's that all about?
It is a mystery question, and one of us will have one of those in the original nine. And if you get that and answer it correctly, you'll hear this sound.
Ah, the beloved cowbell.
The beloved cowbell.
And guess what happens? You get this new, this is newly designed, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it's a few weeks.
Learning University t-shirt
That's
right
really
here.
Nice.
I'm holding it up for those that are live streaming, or and so it, man, it's colorful.
It is.
That's my first time to see it.
That's
guys.
The
that's
Learning
great.
University T-shirt 3.0.
It looks a lot better. It looks a lot better than the one that had y'all sketches on it.
Had our faces on it.
Well, those were caricatures, they weren't far off.
Have you noticed we have banners, you know, for each program, and everybody's got a real picture except Alex and myself on Exploring the Word, and it's a cartoon.
It's a cartoon.
I don't know what that means, right, guys.
I still like cartoons.
So. I do, too, but that's the T-shirt.
If you get the mystery question, you will win an AFR Trivia Friday T-shirt. It's brand new, brand spanking new, about 3 weeks old. And by the way, if you want to purchase one of those, you can go to our resource center, resources.afa.net, resources.afa.net, and you can purchase one. I have no idea how much they cost. I'm sure the price is on there. But you can buy one the easy way. You don't have to do it the hard way by answering the mystery question. All right. Now, the only other thing we ask is that you be 11 years old or older to call to be on the program, 888-589-8840. Brother Bert, why don't you give your questions first, then I'll go, JJ will go, and then we'll go right to the phones.
Okay, here's my first question, and it has to do with Artemis. You know, man, what a flight. Last weekend was awesome, guys. They retrieved the man that was shot down, you know, with a jet. That happened. It was Easter Sunday. Artemis was going around the moon. It was a great weekend.
Yes, that was.
High attendance in churches, and so yep. I praise God.
Amen.
I thought I'd throw that in.
Yes, sir. Okay. That's a lot happening, and coming up on our 250th birthday. Happy birthday, America.
Amen.
What an amazing display.
And that's not just Brother Bert. We're talking about the country.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
I remember when. Okay. Hey, here's my question. How many astronauts have walked on the moon? Okay. Now, we haven't done this a long time. I heard some of the younger guys talking about it today, and they said, no, when they were walking on the moon, I hadn't even been born yet, you know? So these haven't walked on the moon, but they went around the moon looking back. But how many astronauts have walked on the moon? And then here's my Bible question. It's Old Testament. What are the names of Joseph's two sons? Names of Joseph's two sons? And then Andy Griffith. I got to have one. Here it is. I'm going to make it a multiple choice. I got the feeling like it might be a little hard if I just ask it straight out with one. What is the name of the bloodhound that Barney wanted to join the Mayberry Sheriff Squad? Okay.
Great. It's a great episode.
Anybody, when I ask those questions, those that know the show laugh.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. But
it's hard not to blurt it out.
It is. What is the name of the bloodhound that Barney wanted to join the Mayberry Sheriff Squad? Is it Old Dan, Buster, Blue, or Chief? It's one of those. Old Dan, Buster, Blue, or Chief.
Those are good.
I like it. All right, here are my three questions. First question, a history question. When Spanish explorers came to the New World, they found what civilization primarily located in Guatemala? I think we did the Aztecs last week, or 2 weeks ago. I don't remember. And that was in Mexico. Those are the Aztecs. When Spanish explorers came to the New World, they found what civilization primarily located in Guatemala? Second question, the name of what kind of Mexican salsa roughly translates to beak of the rooster? The name of what kind of Mexican salsa, so this is the name in Spanish, roughly translates to beak of the rooster. And then third question, true-false. Today we use the acronym LOL to stand for laugh out loud. But in the 1960s, it stood for little old ladies. Is that true or false? Today, we use the acronym LOL to stand for laugh out loud. But in the 1960s, it stood for little old ladies. Is that true or false?
Here's what I've got. I've got a Bible question, a medical question, and a sports question. In the Bible, who came first, Elijah or Elisha? Who came first in the Bible, Elijah or Elisha? Second question, what general color does your skin turn as a result of jaundice? If you have jaundice, what color does your skin turn? Third question, what Hall of Fame quarterback joined the Denver Broncos in 1983? What Hall of Fame quarterback joined the Denver Broncos in 1983? You probably know that.
Yeah, I know that one, yeah.
All right, there we go. Let's go to the phones.
All right, Brother Bert, okay. you're our phone welcomer today.
Okay, we're going to Nebraska. Way to go, Nebraska. Mike, thank you for calling, Mike.
Well, hello, esteemed, wonderful professors.
Hey.
Well, great.
Esteemed and wonderful.
Yeah, man, thank you, listen, Mike.
I'm glad I joined y'all today,
guys.
That's
right.
Oh. Hey, Mike, you want to ask, answer, or both?
I'll do both.
Hey, okay. Hey, Mike, before you tell us which one, what part of Nebraska?
We're in the northeast corner called Ponca, Nebraska. It was named after the Ponca Indians.
Okay, great.
We live on a farm.
Great. Well, which one you want to answer?
Well, let's do the who came first.
All right.
Chicken or the egg.
Who came first? Yeah. Who came first in the Bible? Elijah or Elisha?
That would be Elijah with a J.
Way to start us out.
Very nice.
First Kings focus on Elijah. Second Kings, the focus is on Elisha. Elisha was the understudy of Elijah, the assistant of Elijah. And do you remember when he prayed for a double portion? Well, not coincidentally, in the Bible, you see where Elijah did 7 miracles, Elisha did 14 miracles.
I never knew that.
Isn't that something?
Wow.
It's still hard to preach on them. You have to write it down or you'll get them mixed up. You'll be preaching on Elijah at the Mount Carmel and Elisha will slip in. Or you'll be Elisha at the widow's house. And you know, it is hard to keep those straight. They're so much alike.
I can't keep which miracle for which one, but I thought this would be a good thing to go, okay, who came first? And Elijah came first. Elisha was next, and boy, way to start us out, Mike. Thank you for knowing the Word. Thank you for reading your Bible. What's your question for us?
All right, so it's a little technical. You know, I'm a radio guy, and so, and you guys are radio people, so, you know, maybe you know the answer to this, hopefully, that when you have a transmitter and you have the antenna and the power goes out from the antenna and it kind of dwindles off as it goes off in the distance, there's a law. It's a radio signal law, but you know what the law is where it dwindles off?
You know, fade.
Well, there's a skip with AM. You have something that skips, and people can pick up a small AM station many states away. AM, amplitude modulation, FM, frequency modulation, but I don't know what that fading away. I know you have a skip effect for those AM, you know, line of sight, directional, but hey, help us out. Tell us the answer.
Do you have a...
Listen, I don't. Fading.
I have no idea.
That is a radio engineer question, not just a dumb old DJ.
I think you got us, Mike. What's the answer?
Okay, so it's the same as for light. It's called the inverse square law. So you put the whatever the power is coming out and the distance on the bottom, you square it, and that's how quickly the signal drops off.
Huh. Okay. You know, if Tim was here, he would be saying that he and Allison were talking about that very thing this morning.
Supper
last night. They were having that exact same conversation.
The inverse square law.
Yeah. Mike, thanks.
Everyday conversation.
That's right. Mike, thanks for listening to AFR. God bless you, buddy. Have a great weekend.
We do have to have smart people in this world. Mike was one of them.
Right below Nebraska is Kansas. So let's go to Kansas and talk to Joyce. Joyce, thank you for calling.
Hi.
Yes. What part of Kansas are you from?
I live in Abilene.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
It's about 20 miles east of Salina, about 80 miles west of Topeka.
Okay.
All right.
Good Salina. Area.
Everybody stops at Salina when you go out there because you're halfway. If you go any further, there's nothing.
Nothing west.
West there.
Well, and when you pull off the exit there, you stop at Russell's. They have the best homemade pies.
Well, I think you've mentioned that before.
I have.
It's like,
yeah.
It's like
they've been around forever.
Nationally famous.
Yeah, I don't know if they're nationally famous, but like Brother Bert saying, that's a long haul and starts to get pretty lonely.
Yes,
you get you a piece of that homemade pie, and
that'll help you when you're driving.
That's
driving
right.
Flat land.
Joyce, ask, answer, or do both, dear.
Do both.
Which one you want to answer?
The one about the jaundice.
Here's the question. What general color does skin turn as a result of jaundice?
Yellow.
Yellow.
Woo!
Nicely done.
Because it affects the liver. Is that it?
I think that is what. That's why, and that's why we decided not to name one of our daughters jaundice. We said, you know what? It does have a ring to it, and it kind of flows off your tongue, but that's just not going to work.
Yeah.
What's your question for us, Joyce?
I was going to say, I've had 6 kids, so I've had kids under the lights when they're born.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
All right.
Get that, what is that, Billy Rubin score or whatever, make sure everything's good to go?
That's it.
Billy Rubin.
Rubin. I knew it was one of those.
Not Billy, but Billy.
That's right.
I love a good.
I knew it was one of those Rubin boys.
I love a good Billy Rubin sandwich. You know, get some of that coleslaw.
Joyce, what's your question for us?
Okay, my question is, Albert Einstein refused to wear one certain piece of clothing. What was that?
He refused to wear socks.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you see his pictures, and if it gets down there where his Rich's leg, pants leg is above his shoe, you see the ankle.
He had a little thing about, well, it just takes a little extra time. I've got to be working on stuff. I just want to streamline, and I'm not putting on
socks. So he's not going to put socks?
Something like that.
That's the thing he chose to save a few seconds?
Joyce, you've got the backstory on it. Help us out. What's the story there?
I don't know. I just got that off of a trivia email that I get.
Oh, okay.
Well, it really is true. Some of those geniuses, they could be a little bit
quirky.
Were like one of the ones, Beethoven or Mozart, one of them, they would dunk their head in ice cold water before they started to try to come up with a piece before they started writing
kind of
music.
Wake themselves up or something?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, that polar plunge from the shoulders up.
Hey. You know, when I was in Bible college, one of the teachers there, you know, because they were always encouraging the students to get up early and start their day with prayer, reading the Word. And I remember them saying, I know some of you have a hard time waking up and getting awake and not falling asleep while you're reading your Bible. So you don't need to get up and read your Bible in bed because you're going to fall asleep. And they recommended sitting on the edge of the tub and reading your Bible. And they said, we're pretty sure you're not going to fall asleep while you're on the edge of the tub. So I guess people do what you have to do to try to stay awake or get the brain rolling.
I know we get off on a detour here. If you're driving and trying to stay awake at night, take your shoes and socks off. There's just enough of a weirdness that there you are, whatever kind of clothes you're wearing, but you're barefoot on the gas pedal and the brake. That will kind of keep you awake. And then a truck driver told me when he was really getting drowsy, he'd roll his window down and he'd take his finger and his thumb and he would hold a $100 bill out the window. He told it as a true story. He said, you'll be wide awake not to lose that $100 bill. And the wind coming in. And then I said, have you ever, nodded off a little bit and lost it? He said, I have. He said,
wow. Well,
a few times. Then what you do, you go back and you're walking in the medium for a half mile. And by the time you find your $100 bill, if you do, then you're wide awake.
I recommend pulling over.
Yes.
Oh.
Joyce, thank you for calling, and take care of Kansas. Okay, guys, you ready to go south from Nebraska and Kansas? And let's go to Madeline in Louisiana. Madeline, thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Yes.
Absolutely.
We got to ask you, what part, southern or northern, what part of Louisiana are you from?
I'm in northern Louisiana, in Ruston, Louisiana, I'm from south Louisiana.
Great area.
Okay. Congratulations for coming north there. Okay, Madeline. Do you want to answer, ask, or both?
I want to do both.
Which question do you want to try to answer?
I want to answer the LOL question, and I just want to go with it's true.
All right, let me go ahead and ask the question in case someone's just tuning in. Today we use the acronym LOL to stand for Laugh Out Loud, but in the 1960s it stood for Little Old Ladies. It's a true-false question, and you say it's true. Is that right?
Yes, I say it's true.
Okay. It is 100% absolutely true.
Really?
Yes, it is. I always double check these if they sound kind of weird. But in the medical profession and in literature, they use that as an abbreviation, like a doctor might say LOL or something like that. Little old ladies was what LOL stood for.
Well, if I was a little old lady, I believe I'd rather be called LOL.
Yes. Madeline, nicely done. Did you know that or did you Google that? How did you come up with that?
I just guessed, but I also, my fiance texted me that it was the right answer.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
Allowed. Right. But I want to give him a shout out because he listens to this show, and I called him, he told me about this show, and so I've been wanting to call in to kind of surprise him while he's at work because he listens to it while he's at work.
I hope he's listening. What's his first name?
Yeah, we need his first name.
His name is Micah.
Oh, Micah. Wow. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do, Madeline, okay? We're going to do something for Micah, all right? For Micah.
For Micah.
We used to have countertops made of for Micah. We're going to send him a T-shirt since he listens all the time.
And he turned you on to AFR at the Learning University.
Would that be okay? Yay. You think he'd like one?
What size? You're going to have to give that.
Yeah, you have to give that. When we're through with you on the air, don't hang up. Well, Brother Bert will put you on hold, and then Cindy Roberts will get your information, and then we'll send a T-shirt. I'll tell you what, if you're a fan, are you a fan now of Trivia Friday?
Yes. All right. Now I listen every week.
All right. We'll send you matching T-shirts.
There you go.
Wow, man.
Hey, and if you ever have a chance, if you guys are ever somewhere wearing your T-shirts together, take a pic, send it to us, and we'll put it on our Facebook page.
Yeah, there you go. That's a great idea.
Yeah. Wear it on your honeymoon.
Yeah, we'll send you all a picture.
Okay, Madeline.
Hey. All right, what's your question for us?
Okay, I'm a speech therapist, and everyone knows that there are 26 letters in the English alphabet, but I want to know if you guys know how many sounds make up all of the words in the American English language. How many sounds? They're called phonemes. How many phonemes are in the phonetic alphabet?
That phonies. Real.
Well, I know there's several phonies at the church I go to. I know that, but I don't.
I know I had a second cousin twice removed. He was hooked on phonics. And I'm telling you, Betty Ford and that treatment program she offers, about 7 steps. He didn't make it to 12, but he got out of there. He can say A-I-O-U, sometimes Y. He can get it all right there when he needs to now.
All right. Anybody have a guess?
I'm going to double it and say 52.
Because you have like thorough and through, and there are a lot of different, even for one little batch of vowels, you got several sounds. I've got one of my daughters is a school teacher. What did you say, 52?
Yeah.
I'm going to say 38.
All right. I'm going to say 72, just to be ornery. That's the music. What's the answer, Madeline?
Okay, there's 44 phonemes that make up all the sounds of all of our words in the American language.
What did you say?
Language.
I said 38.
38. You might have been closer. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, Madeline, that's the sound for the music for our break. So I'm going to put you on hold, and Cindy Roberts will get your information, and your husband's, your soon-to-be husband, you get your information, and we'll send you a couple of T-shirts.
Thank you, Madeline. Tell Michael we said hello, and thank you for listening to AFR.
All right, folks, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will go back to the phones. We'll talk to, Arnold, Tammy, Al, Big Al, John, and Brad, and we'll keep on rolling through the day.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
In a football game once, a guard had an opportunity to intercept a pass on a very crucial play. The guard tried as hard as he could to hang on to that ball, but he dropped it. It was a movement he was unfamiliar with. A fellow teammate, a defensive back who was familiar with pass intercepting, became very angry at the guard. He even went to the sideline and asked the coach to take the guard from the game, but the coach refused. A few plays later, that same person fumbled the ball while attempting to score the winning touchdown. He looked at the guard with whom he had become very upset only a few plays earlier. The guard looked at him, but said nothing. He had a look of understanding on his face. Well, the backfield man came over to the sidelines and sat down on the bench. He hung his head in shame. The coach came over, put his hand on his shoulder, and said, "We all make mistakes, son. Now get back in there and do the best you can." You know, before you throw a stone, take a look at yourself. None of us are without our faults and flaws, and we have no right to throw a stone unless we are perfect. Too many times we can see the error of another while overlooking our own. It takes no special skill to see the good points we possess and the bad which another has. Usually it only takes a little human nature at work. Sometimes those who are the quickest to find fault know the least about redeeming love. We may not have all sinned alike, but we all alike have sinned. When you look at yourself first, really look at yourself, you find it hard to throw a stone at someone else. The longer one follows this carpenter from Galilee, and the more he loves him, the slower he is to point an accusing and condemning finger. Too many of us require standards in others which we ourselves never try to reach. You know, the person who made a mistake doesn't need condemnation. He needs forgiveness and understanding and another chance. We're told in the book of books that he who loved us did not come into the world to condemn us, but to redeem us. I'm afraid that many times our message has been too much condemnation and too little redemption. I recall a parable the carpenter told about two men who went up to the temple to pray. You remember it. One prayed about how good he was, while the other sincerely begged for forgiveness. If I'm not mistaken, it was the man who thought he was so good who was rejected, and the man who begged for forgiveness who was accepted. The important thing to remember is this: our Maker loves us even if we aren't perfect. If he loved only those who were perfect, I'm afraid he would not have anyone to love. Men may scorn us and condemn us when we make a mistake, but the carpenter loves us and can still use us. Don't make it a habit in your lifetime to throw stones. You don't make yourself any bigger by making another a little smaller. Give a little help, for the time will come when you will need all the help you can get.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Psalm 34, 1.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. The weekend comes, my cycle hums, ready to race to you. These days are ours.
Happy days.
These days are ours.
gray sky, hello blue. There's nothing can hold me when
hey.
Hey.
That was from Happy Days, show in the 70s. I loved it. I watched it when I was in high school. My dad had a little bit of a different sense of humor. And when we watched TV when I was growing up, everybody watched the same thing. You didn't have different, you know, iPads or kids didn't have TVs in their room. And so we all watched the same thing. I would watch that show and laugh, and my dad would just shake his head and say, this is stupid. That's just the difference, I guess, between a teenager and his dad. It is Trivia Friday. It is the day after Share-a-thon, and we do want to thank all those who gave to Share-a-thon. Amen. Thank you so much for giving. We know there's a lot of folks. The economy is a little tricky right now with high gas prices and high grocery prices. We know there were probably a lot of folks who wished they could give but could not. But please continue to listen and continue to pray for American Family Radio. And hey, listen, if you want to tell folks about AFR and even recommend the AFR app, that is a way for us to get new listeners and for the Lord to reach new groups of people. So thank you so much. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today, joined in studio by J.J. Jasper and Bert Harper. Bert, let's go ahead and start resetting our questions. I'll go J.J., and then we'll go back to the phones.
Okay, here's my first one. How many astronauts have walked on the moon? We know that those four went around the moon and came back to Earth and landed, well, splashing down. They don't want to land. They want to splash down,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
And they'll splash down tonight. But how many astronauts have walked on the moon? And then a Bible question from the Old Testament. What are the names of Joseph's two sons? And then the third question, Andrew Griffith Show. What is the name of the bloodhound that Barney wanted to join the Mayberry Shares squad? Old Dan, Buster, Blue, or Chief? It's one of those.
All right.
Good questions.
I have two questions remaining. I will add a new one here. First question, when Spanish explorers came to the New World, they found what civilization primarily located in modern-day Guatemala? What was the name of that civilization that Spanish explorers encountered? Second question, the name of what kind of Mexican salsa roughly translates in English to beak of the rooster? And I'll just give you a little hint. I'm pretty sure you've had it. So what is that Spanish salsa, the name of it, roughly translates in English to beak of the rooster? And then third question, I will replace my earlier true-false question with another one. This one's pretty easy. I think we probably have had this before. Here's the question. Cotton candy was invented by a dentist. Is that true or false? Cotton candy was invented by a dentist. True or false?
Here's what I've got. First question, what Hall of Fame quarterback joined the Denver Broncos in 1983? What Hall of Fame quarterback joined the Denver Broncos in 1983? Second question, I'll add one. In The Hunchback of Notre Dame, what is the name of the gypsy girl who befriends Quasimodo? You know, I'm looking at this. Gypsies, thieves, tramps, professional wrestlers, Quasimodo, Hunchback. Man, as a comedian, I'm having a hard time not just clobbering every element of this
It's a great
question.
If Tim were here, he'd start singing Gypsies, Tramps, and
yes.
Thieves.
In The
Cher.
Hunchback of Notre Dame, what is the name of the gypsy girl who befriends Quasimodo?
Didn't you drive a Quasimodo in high school?
I drove a Quasimodo, and it was actually one of the ones that did get good gas mileage. I couldn't spell it, but thankfully I didn't have to write it down anywhere. Third question, what was the name of Henry Ford's only son? Henry Ford, the Henry Ford. What was the name of Henry Ford's only son?
Okay, let's go to the phone lines, and it's Texas, and it's Arnold. Arnold? I feel like you really fit in on Happy Days.
I was about to say, well,
okay.
Arnold's.
Amen. Matter of fact,
the diner
where I'm from, Jan and I, where we ate was at Arnold's.
Did you really?
It was a restaurant in Baldwin, north of Tupelo, Arnold's. And man,
Not quite,
but it was still good. Hey, Arnold, thank you for calling. What part of Texas are you from, Arnold?
North Texas, east of Sherman.
Okay.
Good.
Great.
Howdy.
Which do you want to answer? North of the Dallas Metroplex area.
Yeah. You want to answer, ask, or both?
I'm going to do both. And but I got to tell JJ hi from Bob. Bob Bennett.
Oh, that's right. He sent you over. You sent him over to say hello and came up to me at the book table when I did a Pregnancy Resource Center banquet in Texas a couple of years ago. I brought my daughter Tegan with me. It was her very first time to fly and her first time to come and help me at a banquet. And I got to meet. Did I meet you or did I meet Bob?
No, you met Bob because I was out on the truck.
He came and represented you guys. Yeah, what a nice guy. We had a real good visit there. What a good guy. Please tell him we said hello.
I will do it. Bob and I are going to get out and see you guys one of these days, and hopefully this coming summer. But
would love that. Yeah. Hey, ask, answer, or do both, Arnold.
We're going to do both. Yep. We're going to answer the how many men have walked on the moon.
Okay.
That's Brother Burks.
Yeah, here is this question. I did not know, but since Artemis was up there, I said, what would be a good, astronaut or
space question?
Space question. How many astronauts have walked on the moon?
The answer would be 12.
Woo!
Hey!
Wait a
Arnold,
second.
Listen to that cowbell. Do you know what that means?
Oh, yeah, that means I just won myself a Trivia Friday T-shirt, and that's going to go great with my other Trivia Friday T-shirt that I had you guys sign. I don't wear T-shirts, but I'm gonna frame that one right and put it right next to my other one.
Oh, frame!
What a flatter!
I don't suppose you guys would sign this one.
We will. We will.
We got to get somebody to remember.
We'll make a note. Yeah. Yeah. Now you're asking three granddads to try to remember something.
I'm a granddad and a great granddad. So, I understand.
Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to walk in the kitchen in a few days and say, now, what did I come in here for? Oh, it's so I'd remember to sign Arnold's shirt whenever Tim gets back and we all get together.
Well, you guys, I'm just surprised. I got a fantastic memory. It's just my forgetter so much better.
Yes.
I mean, come on. Hey, yeah. Way to go.
Arnold, I know you got a question for us, but don't hang up when we're finished with the questions. We'll put you on hold. Cindy Roberts will get your information, and then we'll see if she can remember to have the T-shirt brought from inventory, and we'll maybe
get the three of us,
and maybe Tim will be back in and have four signatures.
There you go.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. I'd love that.
Hey, guys, can you name the first two guys on the moon? Now, they're one small step.
Buzz Aldrin and
Neil Armstrong.
Yeah, and Buzz Aldrin is still living at 96.
Wow.
He's still living.
There's out of the 12 research I did, I did not know the answer that I thought I knew, but I was off by one. But
all right, well, now, Brother Bird, since you were asking questions, do you remember who was stuck up in the, I forget the name of
Apollo 13?
No, who was stuck up, but he didn't get to walk on the moon. He was up in it's not the lunar module, that's what landed. I forget what the...
In that first flight?
Yes.
Was it... I can't.
Michael Collins.
Collins.
Way to
go, man.
I think it was
That's
Michael.
It. That's it.
Here's the deal.
That.
You had Buzz Aldrin, and you had Neil. Well, for many years, I was listening to Neil Diamond music because I thought he was the astronaut. I said, man, if you can go up in space and make music, that's a good combination right there, and I'm going to listen to that old boy's music.
And Buzz Aldrin, a lot of folks don't know that. He came up with that expression, to infinity and beyond.
Yeah. That's right. So, that's where they got that.
Yeah.
Hey, you're not – the law's not looking for you, are they, Arnold? We heard the siren in the background.
You're
not running from the law.
Nah, it's going by the highway. They're going to some call or something. So,
What's your question for us, Arnold?
Okay. My question for you is, how many nations are responsible for the building of of the space station, of the International Space Station?
Oh, now, that's a good space question.
I'm going to give you three choices to make it easier on you, okay? Now, some of them contributed money, some helped with the project, some built in modules or whatever. But so it's either one of these three. It's either 8, 12, or 15 nations?
I'm going to go high.
Great question.
That's a great question. I'm going to go with 12.
Yeah, I'm going to go with 12.
I'll go with 15.
All right. What's
well, Brother Bert is correct. 15.
Hey, wow. Hey. Nicely done, Brother Bert. Good guess.
That's an interesting question.
It is.
I
remember them talking about it, but that is something. But each nation had a contribution, but some of them were better at this than the others.
That's right.
And they took the best of, is what I understood.
You got a solar panel from France. You got some really nice rugs from Persia. Those rugs that are there in the space station, people just go, wow, this is really, really, you know, like cashmere. Or what's a nice Persian rug?
Well, the chopsticks from China, so
that's
they can
right.
eat right out, you know.
Don't stab themselves with a fork.
Arnold, thank you, man.
I'm going to put you on hold. Don't hang up. And Cindy Roberts will get your information, and we will we'll work on the signature thing. And get the T-shirt to you there.
Guys, we're having a lot of fun. In all seriousness, let's pray for a safe return of
Amen.
Artemis II. You have to hit that re-entry just right. If you're a little bit off, you'll skip off and go flying out into the wild blue yonder. If you come in a little too hot, you know, you hope that those panels, that heat shield will be effective. Because
when do they come
back?
It
turns into a ball of fire for just, I think it's 6 minutes maybe, just at that.
Yeah,
that's toughest part of that reentry.
Seven
gonna be 7:07.
Yeah, tonight.
Tonight. Okay.
Yeah, Central time.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Thank you so much. Let's go to Virginia, and it's John. John, thank you for calling. Go right ahead. Where are you from in Virginia?
Oh, I'm from the place where they had two Civil War battles, Manassas.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
First Manassas and Second Manassas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, John,
if I could speak about the eating out with Richie Cunningham, I never learned to bang on the jukebox, but I did learn to bang on the front of a Chevette to get it going. And
hey,
then
Fonzie.
When that didn't work, I learned to park half a mile away at the library because it was on a hill, and then I could
pop the clutch
easily.
Yep, you're talking to some baby boomers when you say pop the clutch, and you got it started. How many of us have played the pinball machine? Not those of you listening under 40, but you play the pinball machine, and you've got the sweet spot, and you're the little metal ball bearing thing's about to get away, and it's not quite where your flipper needs to be. So you take and you hit the corner, and you can save it by hitting the corner. So in fact, if you hit it just a little too hard, a little too soft, it won't work. A little too hard, it goes tilt. And you shut the whole machine down.
Yep,
don't you?
That's right.
You tried to hit it just like Fonzie would hit the vending machine to get a drink to come out.
You needed to know how much and where, right?
That's right.
That's right.
It was a sweet spot.
Okay, John, which question do you want to answer?
I wanted to answer the Jacob question, which I named my son Joseph for this very Joseph question, excuse me. Manassas and Ephraim were his son's names, and I chose to name him that so he could learn to forgive people for the wrongs they do him, because he could forget which was Manasseh, and also God had made him to be fruitful.
Okay.
Wow. That's a good Bible name.
The question was the names of Joseph. You got them right. Manasseh was firstborn. Ephraim was secondborn. But when the blessing came, the hands were switched. And it was a family trait.
I think so. Fruit doesn't fall very far from the tree.
It really was. Way to go, John. That is great. Hey, you got a question for us?
I sure do, but it's a trick question. Having to do with the American Revolution.
We're
and
ready.
Here it is.
Thanks for letting us know it's a trick question, so we're ready.
Right. Okay. The Battle of Saratoga was a great American victory, probably the greatest in the whole war. And the question is, who was the American leader who got on his horse and led the Americans to victory at Saratoga?
I wouldn't call it a trick question, but I'd call it a hard one.
Yeah.
I, oh, man.
I'm not going to get this one unless you guys can bail us out.
You're a good history guy.
That's a great question, though.
It is. It turned everything around.
Yep.
Battle of Saratoga did that. You're right, John, but I don't know who that guy is.
I think you've stumped us, John. What's the answer?
Oh, I was trying to trick you into getting the commanding officer who was Horatio Gates, but while he was sitting in his tent, after suspending Benedict Arnold because of an argument he had with him, suspending him from doing any commands at all, Benedict Arnold put on his uniform, got on his horse, and led the Americans to victory. He wanted to attack the British, and he had, his commanding officer, Gates, had told him, "We have to stay behind our lines because we've already built these trenches and fortifications." So it was Benedict Arnold, and I said was because obviously he's not considered a hero today.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow, that's some good history.
Sure is.
I remember Gates. Of course, everybody knows Benedict. Have you noticed nobody calls their child Benedict anymore?
Benedict. And they don't name their daughter Jezebel.
There's some names that people ruin. Hey, John, thank you for that good history. And, man, we need to go back. The American Revolution, what all God did.
Yeah.
There's some miraculous things that took place.
Amen.
Fog rolling in. This happened. Always. That happened. Perfect timing. Miracle after miracle.
Yep. It really was. John, thank you, man. Keep it up, brother. Well, you ready to go to Texas and talk to Brad? Brad, thank you for calling.
Hey, how are y'all doing today?
Doing well.
Doing great.
Yeah. What part of Texas?
I'm from Ezel, Texas.
Ezel.
Okay.
Close to Victoria, Texas.
Okay, that's great. One of our great, well, we got a lot of great stations.
Yes.
Victoria, we get a lot of people that respond from there. After Share-a-thon, you get to know, man, they're really responding, and they did great. Hey, Brad, you want to answer, ask, or both?
I'd like to do both.
Which question?
I believe I'm going to go with the Henry Ford question.
All right, here's the question. What was the name of Henry Ford's only son?
His name was Edsel, and there was actually a car named after him that didn't really gain any traction, so it wasn't really a very popular car.
You're exactly right. Nicely done,
wow,
Brad.
Good, great job.
And I love that. The car didn't gain any traction.
That was diplomatic. Henry Ford, you only have one son, so you want to honor him. And you know, if his name had been Corvette or something else, you know, you're like, wow, every time I'm driving this Corvette, I'm thinking that was Henry's son. The Edsel, except for the motor and the transmission and the clutch, the tires, the brakes, and the lights, it was a pretty good car. No, it was
seats were great.
It was horrible. The grill looked like a horse collar, and that was the first thing they started to mock. And then the engine, transmission, everything. It was a lemon in every sense of the word. And how sad, that's the legacy and your pride and joy, your only son. Hey, I'm going to name it. Not Lamborghini, not Maserati or Corvette. No, just this old rolling, you know, embarrassment called the Edsel.
And you don't hear people naming their kids Edsel anymore either.
That's right.
But Ed,
we get stuck with that.
Hey, nicely done, Brad. Are you a car guy, or did you just kind of know that from history?
No, I'm a car guy through and through. Ford is really not my deal. I'm more of a Chevy man, but I like some of the weird, like the Corvair. I love those. I thought those were really good cars. I can't remember the guy's name that said Unsafe at Any Speed. He wrote that book.
Right. That was Ralph Nader. And I'm with you. I had a 66 Corvair. Fun little car to drive. You had the Monza, the different brands of those, and they were just really nice little cars.
My dad had a Monza.
A Monza Corvair?
Yeah. Well,
here's a little trivia for you. My mom had a 64 Corvair, and she traded it in on a Ford Maverick. And Actually, it was one of the first 25 Ford Mavericks sold in America. So she had a little, there was a little nameplate on the dash that had her name on it She was one of the first 25.
Wow. Okay. Now, I love Ford Mavericks. That was Mavericks. One of mine.
Yeah.
Hey, Brad, you got a question for us?
I do.
Go right ahead, man.
With Passover, just Easter Sunday and Passover and everything, just passing us by. My question is, you know, in John chapter 13, when Jesus is coming into the city and they cried, Hosanna, Hosanna, and they threw palm branches down. What does Hosanna mean?
Okay.
I got two pastors sitting by me. What say you guys?
Wasn't it praise or
blessed be the name of the Lord?
Hosanna.
I always thought it was the Lord. That nobody was really sure exactly what it meant. But I don't know. Obviously, Brad has an answer. I don't know. That's a great question.
Okay, in the Hebrew tongue, the word Hosanna or the name Hosanna means save us, we beseech thee, or save please, or save now.
Okay,
wow. Good.
I'd heard it clicks now.
I love that.
As long as I've been preaching, you know, I told you I had a good memory, have a better forgetter.
Yeah,
remember that now.
Now.
Yeah.
Right.
Hey, Brad, thank you, man. Keep it up and praise the Lord. Okay, we've got time for another call before the break, guys.
Yeah, I think we got at least one maybe. We'll see.
You called him, so I'm going to repeat what you said. Big Al from Arkansas.
There we go.
Hey, Al, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are y'all doing?
Doing great. What part of Arkansas are you calling from?
The great city of Fort Smith.
Oh, wow. Great. Right over on the west side.
¿Cómo estás, Al?
Muy bien.
Well, do you have a...
Just by that, I'm gonna pick Ed's question.
Okay, you're going to ask us one too, or are you just going to answer?
Which one you want?
I have one for y'all too.
Okay, which question for Ed?
The rooster one.
Oh, okay. Here, let me repeat the question now. The name of what kind of Mexican salsa roughly translates to beak of the rooster?
It is Pico de Gallo.
Pico de Gallo.
Hey, way to go.
Nice.
I don't know how it got that name, but when I saw that as a possible question, I thought that sounds like...
Now, is it tasty or is it no bueno?
Have you never had Pico de Gallo?
I don't know if I have or not. I just get the regular red salsa.
When I was in a mission trip down in Nicaragua, I know you said Guatemala, but Nicaragua, there was this shanty town, and we were feeding them, and there was a chicken factory, and they would give the leftovers, the head and the feet, to this people. And all they had to do was, and we had people that were doing clipping off the beak and clipping off the nails of the chicken, and they would throw the feet and the head into the soup. And when those kids got a foot or a head, they were excited about it. But they cut the beak off, and when you was asking that, the beak of the rooster?
Yeah.
You cut it off.
You cut it off. Well, Pico de Gallo is just when you have the diced up tomatoes, onions, the cilantro.
Oh, yeah.
All the lime.
Color. Yes. Al, you were telling us a little bit about how tasty it was. What were you saying?
Yes, it's very tasty. You can't have Mexican food without it.
Yeah.
Tacos, it goes good on everything.
Yeah.
Right.
I love it.
Now I'm picturing what you're saying. Yeah. It's got the little bit of green and got all that there. Yeah. Good.
Hey, Al, that's the music. We got a 5-minute break coming up for news. Can you hold on until then to give us your question?
Oh, yes. I got a good one for y'all.
All right.
Good.
good. All right. It'll be 5 minutes for you. All right, folks, as I was telling Al, that is the music. We're going to take a break, 5 minutes for news. And when we come back, Al will have his question. We will reset our questions and get back to the phones. You're listening to Trivia Friday. Again, it's the day after Share-a-thon. We want to thank all those who are able to give. For all those who wish they could have but could not, please continue to listen. Please continue to pray. And we're grateful for all those who listen to programming here on American Family Radio. 5-minute break for news. We'll be right back.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.